You. We're glad Isaac's back. He has a baby girl now. Welcome, Isaac. We're glad he's back. And Kim's doing well. Yes, you applaud. Selah, Tawefa. So everybody's good and healthy, right, Isaac? Good. Yeah, all right. So we're thankful. Thankful for that. So just remembering Kim and Isaac and their kids as they adjust to life, I guess, with the second one there. Okay, let me share a couple announcements with you, and then we will jump into the message. James chapter 2, verse 8, if you have your Bibles. James chapter 2, verse 8. September, every week, you know, I'll mention this. The struggle is real. These cards are out in the lobby. Still have more of these. If you want to pick these up, share these, or take one with you. Reminder to pray over it. September 8th, a series, what the Bible has to say to us about mental health and mental illness, and how we can come alongside people walking through those dark valleys, encourage them, and give them hope. So out in the lobby, we also have signs. You'll see signs that are just like this mail out that'll start to pop up around the city. We've started kind of phase one, and we'll start to increase as we get closer. There are some more. I think there are still some more out there if you want to take one. Some people like to do that and put them around their yard or in the neighborhood just to let people know about the series. So you can certainly feel free to do that. Social media, we'll be sharing more this week through social media. So if you'll check the Grace Point Facebook page, we'll have some information there and a video and things. Just continue to share that with as many people as possible. It's just another way to get the message out to the people and to the city of Denton. So we're praying towards that series. Wednesday night, the children's catechism class starts this next Wednesday night at 6:15. We also have an adult class at 6:15 that meets here in the main building. So if you haven't signed your kids up, we would welcome the opportunity to have them here on Wednesday nights. So to catechize means to teach biblical truth in an orderly way through questions and answers. So I talked about this before, so I don't want to spend a lot of time. But so catechisms, don't let the word scare you. It's biblical truth and foundational truths that we believe the Bible teaches here at Grace Point Church. We're going to teach those to your kids through question and answers. We're using the New City Catechism. That's on the website if you want to go and click on that and answer some questions, more specific questions and about that. So it's a great opportunity to get your kids the foundational truths of God's Word into their hearts. So that's 6:15 starting this Wednesday, and then we'll have also an adult class going through the exact same truths and biblical truths if you want to be a part of that. And all of the classes, as a matter of fact, this morning our Sunday morning group started, and then this card out in the lobby on our website has all the classes that will be starting again this Wednesday night. So it'll be the biggest Wednesday night we've probably ever had. We expect that. We have more classes than we've ever had. We have one class, the catechisms class for adults, will be meeting in the worship center. And we're looking for more space for some more classes if we have to just add and create some more classes from the ones we start this Wednesday. So if you aren't connected and you want to be a part of a small group, Wednesday night's a great time for you to come and to be a part of the ministry. You can pick up the information, see it on the website as far as the classes, the ones that you might be interested in there. And then our men's road rally, men, it's next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock here at Grace Point. Great opportunity for you guys to connect with other guys. So even if you don't have someone that you know or to connect or to sign up with to be a part, we want you to come and be a part of it. We will connect you when you get here with other guys that you do the road rally. So we do it in small groups. We'll start at 8. We're back here for lunch. We'll have lunchtime together. And it's a really good, every year it's been a really good time just to connect with other guys and to have fun doing that. So I want to encourage you, you can pick up the cards out in the lobby, go onto our website, and you can sign up there. It's also on our website, but this will be just a great opportunity for you to connect. Like I said, even if you don't know guys, let me encourage you to come. We'll get you connected, and it'll be just a great opportunity for you to get to know some of the other guys here at Grace Point Church. Okay, so that's next Saturday morning, 8 o'clock here at Grace Point. Baptism next Sunday. If you haven't been baptized by immersion, we want to encourage you to sign up for that. If you've surrendered your life to Christ, but you haven't taken that next step of faith, you can do that also in the lobby or on our website. And we'll be doing that baptism Sunday next Sunday morning. And then last, every once in a while, I like to just mention, we do the text blast. I do text blasts on Wednesday morning around 8 to 8:30. It's just usually something I read, an encouraging quote, or something I heard I do a lot of reading, and I have a notebook where I just write a lot of stuff down. And so sometimes I'll just pull from that just to send it out to encourage you, something midweek. So if you want to be a part of that, you can see on this screen, Pastor David, 313131, and then you ought to opt into that, and you'll get that starting this Wednesday. So just another way, I hope, to try to encourage you through the week. You've made it, most of you. Some of you start tomorrow. Many of you have made it through the first week, and you are here. Way to go. That's a win. So praying for those that start tomorrow, because I'm learning more, some are starting tomorrow. So just a time of transition. You'll get in that rhythm, and you get in that into the normal and the routine. So we want to just be thinking of each other, praying for each other, walking through together with each other as everything kind of starts back up, okay? All right, here's what we're going to do. James chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to pick up in verse 8. We went 1 through 7 last week. We talked about the importance of loving instead of judging, and we're going to continue that. It's pointing towards verse 8, where we're going to step down on that in just a few minutes, but I want to read through verse 13. Here's what we're going to answer. Why is it such a struggle at times to love other people? Why is that so hard? Especially the people that, you know, don't love us, people that are difficult people. But you're going to see here this morning that we're called to not judge, but to love everyone. If you see in verse 8, where we pick up really where we left off last week, where James was talking about, you know, don't judge. He talked about the sin of partiality, and he talked about if the man dressed in nice clothes and has rings and well-to-do comes in and you give him the best seat, and then a guy comes in in poor, shabby clothes, and you put him over here under your feet. He said, don't show favoritism. Don't show partiality, right? Don't judge that way. So we talked about that last week. And in verse 8, really, is now he's kind of telling us, here's what you should do. Here's how you need to live. Here's how you need to respond to everybody. Not to show partiality, not to judge, but instead, verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. So let me just ask, as rhetorical, I'm going to ask a couple questions. I'm going to share a couple truths today that are probably, it's probably going to take a little bit of time to settle in. You'll go home, you'll think about it, right? And just kind of process some of these, you know, the biblically supported, but some, the way I say them sometimes might kind of catch you off guard, okay? Now, this isn't one, but let me ask you this question. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. So let me ask you this question. Are you loving others well now? Are you loving others well? Verse 9, but if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who has said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. So he's saying, you know, when you judge and when you are partial to people, you are a transgressor. That is a sin, is what he's saying. Okay, we'll talk more about that next week. And then verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen to that? So that's where it's leading. That's where we're going. We're going to talk about loving others, and we're going to finish here, not today, but this thought, talking about mercy that we are to show to others. Why do we struggle to love one another? So there's two reasons. It's not in your outline, but there's two reasons. Here's reason number one. First of all is this, because the Bible tells us, one of the reasons we struggle is the Bible tells us we are fallen, broken people. We are fallen, broken creatures. And because we are fallen, broken creatures, we cannot correct our fallen state. We can't do that, right? All of these things that we're called to do in the scripture, we cannot do that in our own strength. This is why you burn out when you try to love others in your own strength and do what God tells you to do. This is why you get frustrated. This is why we struggle so much, is because we try to do this. And it's with good intention, I think, most of the time. In our own strength. We're not depending upon God. And look, here's the deal. You and I, we can't do it. You might have a good season, but you cannot do it, right? So what this text does, like all scripture, is it points us to our need for Jesus. When I say to you that the Bible is clear and what it says here is that you are to pray for and love your enemies, there's not one of you in this room, unless you're going to lie to me, that would hold up your hand and go, that's no problem for me. I can do that. That you can't, right? So he calls us to do that, recognizing we can't do it in our own strength. So again, scripture over and over and over again, when you start noticing this, it points us to our need for Jesus. So that's first and foremost why we struggle sometimes to love others the way we're supposed to love others. And that's why we struggle when we are, you know, to love others that don't love us, or to pray and love our enemies. We struggle with that at times. Right? We need Jesus to do that, right? So that's the first reason we struggle here. And the second one is in the first takeaway. Okay, so verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. So there's one, I just have one takeaway today. The sermon's not shorter, so get over that. But there's one takeaway today, okay? It's this. I want you to grab a hold of this. If we love God most, we will love others best. If we love God most, we will love others best. Okay, so this is where we run into problems. With good intentions at times, we focus on how I'm supposed to be loving my wife, loving my children, the way you ladies just to love your husband or whatever. My coworker, we focus, and that's good, recognition, right? But we focus so much on that, and then we try to, in our own strength, in our own, to have a good attitude, to do it in our own power, and all that. And it might work for a while, but then we hit a wall. And it's because that's not the way God drew it up. The way he drew it up is in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, which I want to read. And the takeaway, if we love God most, we will love others best, is from Mark chapter 12, where we have the royal law. That's what he's talking about. So let's go. Let me read it. You turn there if you want. It'll be on the screen. Not all of them, but the main focus. In verse 30 of Mark chapter 12, here's what it says, all right? And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, so they're asking Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Now look, you got to get this. If you don't do that, you will not be able to do the next verse well. James 2, where he says, when you love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. You can't do that unless you do the first part of this. Unless you do the first and greatest commandment. Now, does that mean you can't be loving at all? No. I'm not saying that. You can, right? I mean, lost people, they love them. They love their kids. They genuinely love them. But the depth and the way and the Christ-likeness and the fullness of it happens when we do it this way. And that's what God wants us to experience. It happens while we first love it. We're first loving God. And then verse 31, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So when the religious leaders walk up to Jesus and they ask him the most important commandment, he says without hesitation, he gives them two. First, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So here's what he's saying. I want you to hear this. I want you to get this. I want you to embrace this. In this world, in this life,
These two most important things, Jesus said, are number one, to love God, and number two, to love others. Don't miss the two most important things when you're chasing after everything else, created things in this world, and miss those two things. Because Jesus says, here's the two most important. Loving God and loving others. It has nothing to do about materialistic things. It has everything to do about relationship. Both of those do. And he says, don't miss relationship. So what it's telling us again is that we were not made to live this life, not just in our own strength, but to live this life alone by ourselves. It shows us again that we need God and we need other people. We need God and we need other people. I've never in all my years of ministry walked into emergency rooms, and I've walked into a lot to be with people when there's been a accident or a tragedy. I've never once walked into an emergency room where there's family, there's people around there. And when I walked in, I've never walked in and seen families who were there waiting to hear news about their loved one. There's been an accident or something horrible happened. I've never walked in once, looked and seen families sitting over there. I've never seen anybody holding their checkbook, their trophies, all their achievements, all their achievements and all their certificates of accomplishments, pictures of their cars, and they're just holding them and rocking back and forth and saying, oh, these things are so comfortable. Thank you for this comfort. These things bring me so much comfort. I'm so thankful. Never happened and never will, because it never can happen. Doesn't work that way. But I have walked into a lot of emergency rooms and hospitals, and I've looked around, and every time I see the two same things. Doesn't matter what emergency room you go into, in any emergency room in this country, probably in this world, there's two things that you'll see in every single emergency room. You'll see people praying to God. Even the people don't know Jesus, they're praying to God. And you'll see people leaning on other people. Sometimes literally with people next to them. God and others. Relationship. We need God and we need each other. Sometimes the tragedies flesh that out more than the victories. But the truth is, in all times, we need loving God and loving others. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of things just to kind of let them settle and just to think about it. Here's the first one that was convicting to me. The first one is this, not on your outline or on the screen, but you can write it down if you're taking notes. How we love others reveals how we love God. How we love others reveals how we love God. The Apostle John, he puts it bluntly, and he says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. So our love for each other can be an indicator of the place God is holding in our hearts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The first and the second. Don't get those. That's what happens. We're trying hard to love our neighbor as ourselves, and then we're loving God. And we fall short because we're trying to do it in our own strength. As one writer says, the reason we love others best and we love God most is that love in its truest, purest form only comes from God, because God is love. 1 John 4, love is a fundamental part of his nature. We're only able to love him or anyone else because he first loved us. We are only able to give freely to others what we have received freely from him. We freely give to others what we have freely received from God. Therefore, I say this, and here's another one. The most loving thing that we can do for others is to love God more than we love them.
Now, you know, when you hear that, you got to kind of process that. Like, so I can say the most loving thing we can do, you can do, men, for your wife is to love God more than you love her. It's like, yeah, that's... Now, here's another one. Probably didn't set well, but to think the most loving thing we can do for our children is to love God more than we love our children. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first. That's what we're talking about there. So here, the idea is this, that you will love your children, your spouse, you will love them well, the way God wants you to the deepest and the fullest, when you love God most. You will love them best. And that's what he's calling us to do. So then let's move on just for time's sake. So love your neighbor as yourself. So then the question is, who's your neighbor? Right? Well, then who's... So he's not... It's not just literally your neighbor, right? Like the person next door to you. It does include your neighbor. But that's not what... So my take on this scripture is that your neighbor is everybody. That's your neighbor. Your neighbor is everybody. I mean, just think about that. You're never going to come up to a situation where you, in Luke chapter, I won't take time to turn to, but Luke chapter 10, after Jesus says this, one of the religious leaders says, well, who's my neighbor? It's kind of like, well, if they're, so everybody's your neighbor. You're never going to come to a situation where you go, okay, well, this group of people, guess what? They're not my neighbor, so I don't have to be loving towards them, right? I mean, who would that be? Who's your neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor. There's never going to be a time where, well, you know, I mean, love your neighbor as yourself. They're not my neighbors, so I don't have to love them. So in this context, James 2, the poor guy's your neighbor. In this context, James 2, the rich guy's your neighbor. The coworker's your neighbor. Your friends at school, your people at school, they're your neighbors. And then, of course, your neighbor, you know, people around you. That's... the way I take it, everybody is. People who see the Bible different than me is my neighbor. People who see scriptures interpreted differently or believe differently than I do, that's my neighbor. People that are Mormon brothers or Jehovah's Witnesses, my neighbors. We don't get a pass on loving people because they're not my neighbor. Everyone, I believe everyone is our neighbor. As one writer says, as you love your neighbor, so love your... As you love yourself, so love your neighbor, which means as you long for food when you're hungry, so long to feed your neighbor when he's hungry. As you long for nice clothes for yourself, so long for nice clothes for your neighbor. As you work for a comfortable place to live, so desire a comfortable place to live for your neighbor. As you seek to be safe and secure from calamity and violence, so seek comfort and security for your neighbors. As you seek friends for yourself, so be a friend to your neighbor. As you want your life to count and be significant, so desire that same significance for your neighbor. As you like to be welcomed into strange company, so welcome your neighbor into that company. As you would that men would do to you, do so to them. Your neighbor. To love your neighbor as yourself. He puts a great amount of weight, and that's, I guess, what I want to press in today, is that we understand the weight of this command to love our neighbor as ourself. And then to what is that? So then let me finish and transition. What does that look like? Right? So what does that look like? First of all, we know the importance of it, right? Then in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, beginning in verse 1, let me read this to you. All right, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, all right, move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And if I give away all I have,
and if I deliver up my body to be burned. Okay, you see that sacrificial statement? That's a sacrificial statement. He's saying, you can be sacrificial all day long, man, and you can look great giving up everything and even deliver your body as a sacrifice to be burned up. You can do all that, but have not love. I gain nothing. And that is weight. He shows us the importance of this, that we sometimes miss the depth of it, how it radically impacts everything going on in your house, the way you see your job and your people and your everything when we're able to do this. John 13:35 says this. Jesus says, by this, so I circle that in my Bible because he's getting ready to tell me what it is. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if, I circle if because that tells me there's a choice. There's a choice. We can choose to love or not love, right? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's how I'm going to tell. So we're praying towards September 8th, and when I pray, the city comes to Grace Point because they're looking and needing hope in a time of darkness like last year, and they're coming. And when they come from the city to hear these messages and they meet you, they will know that you and I, that we are Christ followers, not by the message I preach, the prayers that I pray, or the songs we sing, but by the way that we treat each other when they see us. That's what it says here. Right here. By this all people will know that you're my disciples, by the way Pastor Dave yells about Scripture. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say by the way he prays, by the way we sing. It doesn't say that. You can try to argue it all day long, man. But I'm telling you, it says the way they're going to know is by the way we treat each other. That's it. The way people are going to know in your home, the way you love one another, the way people you're going to know you are Christ follower is by the way you love in your home, in your marriage, your parenting, your kids. There's something different about those people. What is it? And they're going to know you're Christ followers by the way you treat each other. By the way you love. It sets us apart as a church from the culture that people who are lost and don't know Christ, and we pray, come to hear hope. They're in that culture. They're in our culture. They're seeing love in a different way. And they come in here and they see, and it's so different. They connect it. And Jesus said, they'll know you belong to me by the way you treat each other. It's not just that series. It's continually. And I think you love well. We always can, you know, look for greater ways, but certainly loving your neighbor as yourself is found 8 times in the Bible, not once, not twice, 8 times. It's so important that God turns it into a commandment, because I think he knows we would wrestle with it, and he calls it the royal law, royal. Because it sounds so beautiful, and it is when we obey it and when we see it happening as God designed it to happen. Not worldly, not movies, not all that. No, but the way God has set it up. So what does it look like then, practically speaking? This is where, let me just give you these and we move on, okay? If you're taking notes, what does it look like? So what then should I do in response? Loving your neighbor means showing grace and not judgment. And that's James 2, what he's kind of talking about towards people. Number two, loving your neighbor means serving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor means speaking kindly about your neighbor and to your neighbor. And sometimes that means we just don't speak at all. Loving your neighbor means making allowances for their humanity, not excuses for their sin, but allowances for their humanity. Everybody makes mistakes. That's showing love. Loving your neighbor means sharing their sorrows and rejoicing in their victories. Man, just rejoice with people when they have victories, when they get blessing. Rejoice. People want to share, and they want somebody to rejoice. Be excited with them. Not envious or jealous. Be excited with them. Rejoice with them. Loving your neighbor means forgiving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor as yourself. In 1 Corinthians 13, which I just referenced, if you read on down further, most of you are probably familiar with, he defines, hey, here's what this love looks like, even more specific than what I just shared. He says, first of all, love is patient. And I put this scale, if you're taking notes on there, and you'll see it by me on the screen, kind of 1 to 10, 10 being that you're doing, you're loving well, like James says, And just kind of, it's really an evaluation. I did it for myself, just kind of self-evaluation. And here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. When we are struggling on that, in these ways I'm going to mention, you know, love is patient, love is kind, all these ways. When we're struggling on that, here's what we do. We tend to go back and focus on, well, I got to be more patient. I got to be more kind. I got to be more, and certainly that's important. But what I'm saying to you today is you go back to where we started. Okay, you go back, if we love God most, we will love others best. Don't dwell just there on all the things I need to do better. Let's go back and do loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So our focus, our time, our energy is going to be focusing on loving God that way this week. And then what happens is the second part, it flows from you. And you don't, it's flowing from you. It's God through you. So love is patient. That's the first one. Love is patient. So when I am impatient with people, right, and, you know, I don't know, nobody's going to be perfect on this thing. It's not the, but it just challenges us to look at, are we loving well? Love is kind. Be kind, man. Maybe, you know, it's a season and you've had difficult circumstances or things going on, and maybe you just aren't being kind and you need to pull back on that and really go back. Start with loving God. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not rude. Don't be rude. Now look, everybody's our neighbor. So love is not rude. So when you're sitting, I'll talk about myself too, but when you're sitting in the drive-thru for 20 minutes waiting on your food, which I think is against the rule of God in itself, but if that were to happen and you get up to the window, don't be rude. You know why? Number one, because we're called to love our neighbor. Being rude is not loving. And here's the other reason why you shouldn't do it. That's first and foremost. The other reason you shouldn't do it, I'm not saying we all haven't, okay? What I'm saying is let's think through this thing, loving God first. What I'm saying is because when you get up to that drive-thru and you are kind, love is kind, and you are gracious, and you are not judgmental, you will stand out like a light in darkness. And it is your opportunity to show it is Christ in me and not myself. Amen? You get that? I mean, do it. Check it out, man. Because everybody else in that drive-thru line was cussing them out. You know what I mean? And the workers, it's like the person giving you the food is the one who cooked the food, froze the food, messed it all up, and they're handing it to you. And so it all kind of vents to them, right? And then we're like, and you know, maybe I'm speaking from personal experience, maybe not. But, and then we want to, it's like we now have a right to be unloving towards them. And we kind of justify it in our head. Now, I'm not saying we all don't mess up, you know, but what I am saying is that shouldn't define us. And this is a great opportunity for you and I. What I've learned is the situations that I try to avoid the most are the ones that create the best opportunities for me to love my neighbor. Because in those situations, most of the time, most people are very unloving. And that's the opportunity for us to be loving and to see the reaction on a person's face when they didn't expect that. Powerful, man. It's powerful. It's testimony. It's witness. It's pointing to who God is. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. So again, for you to do your work on that, to see where you're at. And then as it should, it points us back to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It points us back to if we love God most, we will love others best. And then we see God transforming us when we are embracing truth, right? And when we are loving God most, and He begins to transform us in our lives. And then we are propelled in this love for God and for others by this new the Spirit of God in us. And therefore, it affects everything else we see around us. Now, then, get this. People, and it's...
we begin to see people differently. But here's the deal. It's not because they've become different. It's because you have. You begin to see them differently. They haven't changed. But you have. And as we go through life, we encounter real people with real stories, with real struggles, and now we encounter them. It's an opportunity for us to be to them really who we are in Christ and to love them as myself, to love them the way that God wants us to love them. So today, I finish with this. Gaze at God in His love. Dive into the greatest commandment before getting consumed in the second. In the long run, because of the actions it will produce, this is the most loving thing we can do for people. When we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Let's stand. Will you stand with me? As we stand together, Father, we're grateful for this day that you've made, that we can rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for Jesus. We need him. We need you, Jesus. We need you to empower us, to strengthen us. And I pray, God, that we'll walk in dependence every single day on you. We will recognize our need for you. Empower us, Father, to love as you love. May we start with loving you well first. So I pray you take these words this morning and use them and shape them and press them into the hearts of people so that people will be drawn to you, God, drawn to you, Father, that their heart and their focus is upon you now and loving you well. In Jesus' name we pray. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, listen, friend, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and if God is drawing you to him today, we invite you to come this morning. I'll be here at the front. There'll be other staff and elders. We invite you to come. So we want to pray with you, lead you in that prayer of salvation. We welcome you. We invite you to come. The gospel is good news. We want to share that with you this morning. And there may be other things on your heart. You want to come and kneel at the altar, or you want us to pray for you, or just where you're standing, maybe you're praying and you're worshiping. However the Lord leads you, these next few moments, just don't miss the Lord as he speaks to you this morning, and we respond to him as we continue to worship.